नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9th चैप्टर 3 द मैरिज ऑफ सुकन्या एंड चवन मुनि टेक्स्ट 21st। कथम मतिस्ते अवगतान्यथा सताम् कथम मतिस्ते अवगतान्यथा सताम् कुलप्रसूदे कुलदूषणं त्विदम् कुलप्रसूते कुलदूषणं त्विदम् बिभर्ति चारं यदपत्रपाकुलम् बिभर्ति चारं यदपत्रपाकुलम् पितुश्च भर्तुश्च नयस्य धस्तमा पितुश्च भर्तुश्नयस्य धस्तमा Born in a respectable family, how have you degraded your consciousness in this way? How is it that you are shamelessly maintaining a paramour? You will thus degrade the dynasties of both your father and your husband to hellish life. Purport. It is quite clear that according to Vedic culture, a woman who accepts a paramour or second husband, in the presence of the husband she has married, is certainly responsible for the degradation of her father's family and the family of her husband. The rules of Vedic culture in this regard are strictly observed in the respectable families of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas even today. Only the Shudras are degraded in this matter. For a woman of the Brahmanas, Kshatriya or Vaishya class to accept another husband in the presence of the husband she has married, or to file for divorce or accept a boyfriend or paramour is unacceptable in the Vedic culture. Therefore, King Shariyati, who did not know the real facts of Chavan Muni's transformation, was surprised to see the behavior of his daughter. Om Gyan Timiran. So, in this verse, King Shariyati, who had earlier given his daughter to Chavan Muni in marriage, who happened to come to that place again, and he sees that his daughter is with some young person is standing next to her. So he gets confused. He wrongly judges his daughter. He thinks that whether she has married to some other person or even in the presence of her husband she is maintaining some paramour or something like that. So he thinks in that way, and then he goes through certain type of thought process and he tells that if this happens, then what can happen actually if such a she's maintaining some paramour or something. Then he tells that this will degrade both the dynasties of your father and your husband. So he was well aware of the consequences of such sinful activity. And in those days, those rules, Vedic etiquettes were properly followed. And in the beginning, he had, when we saw that in previous verses, that when King Shariyati had gone to Chavan Muni's ashram with his daughter, she committed some mistake. And King Shariyati was quite scared of the wrath of this Chavan Muni. So therefore, in order to please him, in order to avoid that wrath, he gave his daughter in marriage to this Chavan Muni. Some sort of settlement so that he doesn't get angry. And he thought that now one responsibility is over now. That's the greatest anxiety for a person who has got one daughter or many daughters to marry. Because since beginning there is anxiety. I have to marry my daughter to someone who is qualified at proper age and everything like that. And that's a great anxiety for a person. And nowadays it doesn't just end in marriage. Because in today's world, it's very difficult even after somebody is married. It is not sure that it will continue. Because in modern days, there are so many laws that there is no proper understanding, then they can separate. There are divorces happening in today's society. So there is no guarantee. And when the father has great anxiety. Previous ages, that was not a problem. Because once a daughter is married, she has to continue like that. That was a Vedic culture. And to think about a paramour, or even it was unthinkable. It was not proper actually. Because they were aware of the consequences. That both the dynasties of father and husband, both may degrade to hellish life. If somebody is committing that kind of mistake. So that was the consequences. And as we had discussed last time also, that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Somebody may be ignorantly committing some sinful activity. There is no excuse for that. And that's how the law of nature is so intricate. Unknowingly, somebody may commit some mistake and then there is a heavy reaction. So, from King Shariyati's perspective, he was thinking that, how it is that my daughter is standing with some young person. So he was deriving some conclusions. Maybe she's maintaining some paramour, or he's some friend or something like that. But the real fact was different. And his daughter, she was quite confident. Because she had not committed any mistake. And because of Ashwini Kumaras, this Chavan Muni had got a youthful body. In the same life, he had got a youthful body. And that is another angle we can see, that even like they were married and they had to continue. That was the etiquette. Even the husband was quite old. That was the dharma, that one should not change or one should not deviate. One should faithfully serve that husband. And this Chavanmuni, he still was not purified of his desires. And he wanted to become youth. So, when this Ashwini Kumaras came, he requested them to give the youthful body, because he had still some desires left. So they agreed. And he was so old, he was not even able to walk properly. So that time, both of them, they had to hold this Chavanmuni and take to that particular lake. And both, all of them, they took bath in that lake. And he came out to be a young person. And that time, it was a great pleasure for Sharyati's daughter, because it was good, because she wanted somebody young, and same body he has transformed now, so it was quite happy situation for her, and she had not deviated anyway. And she was maintaining her chastity in that way. So when she saw that there are three youth are coming actually, so she was not able to understand who is the right person actually, who is my husband. And then she surrendered to Ashwini Kumaras and they revealed who is the right person. So that was the situation, actual situation. And here King Sharyati, he had committed mistake of wrongly judging. But they were right in their own perspective. From one angle, from one perspective, King Sharyati was wrong, but from another perspective, it was, everything was perfect actually. So here Srila Prabhupada explains that the rules of Vedic culture in this regard are strictly observed in the respectable families of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas even today. They follow these rules properly. That once somebody is married, then they cannot divorce again. That is not a Vedic culture. There is no divorce in Vedic culture, which has recently come. And there are certain statistics in today's world, even in so-called modern civilized countries, advanced countries, there are divorce rates are increasing. And in America also, it was seen that after World War II, there was sudden rise in divorce. Then it declined for some time. And then again in 1960s, 70s, it started rising, even in 80s. But then it is seen that there is a decline in divorce rate. So it is seen that how divorce has declined in today's world. because they don't get married. The whole culture has changed. They are not married, so there is no question of divorce. They just stay together, trial marriage, some sort of thing. And if they like, then they continue, otherwise they separate. So actually there is no marriage happening nowadays. So there are divorce rate has decreased. So this is a situation actually in today's world. They are not realizing the consequences. That if such things happen, then where their ancestors, where their all the relatives, they are going. They are all going into hellish conditions actually. Because whenever there are sinful activities, there are certain reactions. And this is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. It is explained in 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Dampatya Abhiruchi Hetu. That they will just marry seeing the external beauty. They don't see any kind of kundli or anything like that. They just like each other and then they marry. So it is explained that then what are the reactions for that? And if there is no Vedic systems are followed, then there are very heavy reactions for that. So this was the situation actually. And here this Chavan Muni's wife Sukanya, she had not deviated from that principle. She was maintaining her chastity. And this is quite important to know actually, because there are many rules explained that if somebody commits, what are the wrong things by which his family or the ancestors, they may degrade to the hellish conditions. There are so many intricate rules that people, they don't know in today's world. And therefore, people like mass of population, they are degrading to hellish conditions. In Kali Yuga, people are unaware of such rules, unaware of such laws. And therefore in Kali Yuga, people are going into hellish places actually. And it is explained that even in the story of King Nruga, King Nruga, he unknowingly gave one cow in charity to another Brahmana. He was doing quite pious activity. All so many thousands and thousands of cows he was giving in charity. But by mistake, he gave one cow again in charity to another Brahman. Because that cow had returned back to his place again. So that small mistake happened. And both the Brahmanas, they started quarreling for that cow. They said that this is my cow. Another was saying that this is my cow. So he was not able to resolve. And he was ready to give something like 10,000 cows to each Brahmana in place of that cow. But they were not pacified. And then they went like that. And then when it was asked to this king, when he was about to die, that where do you want to go? Whether you want to go to enjoy your pious activities by going to heavenly planets, or you want to suffer for your sinful activity. So he decided to first suffer for his sinful activities. And then he was immediately transformed as a lizard in a well, dry well. And he was staying there for so many years. And when Lord Krishna's sons and grandsons, they were like playing there, and they went, they saw that there was a big lizard. And they could not rescue that. That time Lord came and he rescued that. And that King Nruga was liberated. So then Lord Krishna calls all his family people. And he tells that, he cautions them actually. And he tells them that, do not even dream of offending or stealing the property of Kshatriyas or anyone, Brahmanas. Because if somebody even, it is explained, Lord Krishna himself is saying that if somebody touches the property of a Brahmana, three generations are ruined. That is the reaction. Somebody just unwillingly, that Brahmana is not willing, and he just takes the liberty of touching the property of Brahmana. Or he steals the property of Brahmana. Then 10 generations ahead and 10 generations behind, they are sent into hellish places. That is a reaction. So it's quite serious actually, when somebody may not realize. And in today's world, people are just trying to usurp others' property and stealing and making so many conspiracies. So we can realize that what is the reaction for such people actually. So that is the thing, that how Kali Yuga acts. Kali Yuga people are so degraded, that they don't know actually what is what are the proper ways of conduct. And even in Vaishnava community, one has to be very careful, because the material energy, the power of material energy is so powerful, that influence of Maya is so strong that even it will creep in Vaishnava community and try to disturb, try to divide and rule. That's how the material energy works. Some other convinces some devotee that this is wrong, he's having so many faults, and one may think that yes, this is, he has got so many faults, and one may commit offenses towards that devotee. Even it may be wrong, but from one perspective it may be correct. Just like this King Shariyati, he made that mistake. He thought that his daughter Sukanya has married to some other person. And from his perspective it was proper, because when he went, he had married his daughter to a old person. And when he came, that some young person was there. So from his perspective, because his senses were imperfect, he judged wrongly. So therefore, somebody judges wrongly a person or a Vaishnava, then he may commit an offense towards that Vaishnava. And therefore, one has to be very careful that one does not commit any offense towards any Vaishnava. And if someone commits offense like that, then there are reactions for that also. So therefore, one has to be very careful not to commit offenses. And here, one has to maintain the chastity. Here, as Sukanya had maintained that. So, how a true follower of Gaudiya Vaishnava, how he will translate into this in our life? His great Jananivas Prabhu, he explains that from his deeper realizations that we are brahmacharis, means he is also brahmachari. So he explained that what is the chastity for a brahmachari? Not to get deviated from his service. That is the chastity for a brahmachari. He told that we are married to our service. And we don't want to deviate from that. We are already married. And to maintain that service, to continue that service in spite of any difficulties is a real chastity for a disciple. Not changing all the time. I'm not happy with this service, so I just change my service and do some service where there is more name, fame, more prestige, more followers. Not like that. But if spiritual master has given some service, one should follow that. One should not deviate from that principle. And in that way, he'll be greatly empowered. And we can see in the line of our acharyas that how they have maintained this principle. Even in the case of Srila Prabhupada, we can see that how Srila Prabhupada exhibited that principle. When he met his spiritual master, his divine race, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj, that time he was told that you are an educated young person. You take this message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach in the Western countries. That was the first instruction. And Srila Prabhupada at the time was in Gandhi's movement, trying to get independence to this nation. So he argued with his spiritual master. And then later he was convinced that this is a urgency. Krishna consciousness is an urgency. It cannot wait. And he was, he had made that instruction as his life and soul. And on several occasions when he met his spiritual master, that time also, the same message he was hearing, that he has to take this message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach in the Western world. And even when his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj, he was in his last days at Radhakund, again he told, he gave another instruction. If you ever get money, you print books. That was the second instruction he gave. And because he saw that in Gaudiya Math, there were a lot of quarrels. They were fighting for small positions and acquiring positions. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj, he understood that this is very dangerous. This is not a preaching spirit. He wanted his disciples to preach boldly this message. So that was a great concern for Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was still having his family responsibilities. But Srila Prabhupada had, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had complete faith in Srila Prabhupada. Because he had marked him. He had marked him and he told him that he hears attentively. That was a qualification. He doesn't go away. Whenever I'm giving talks, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj used to speak in a very high English language where it was very difficult to follow. And he was used to give the conclusions of scriptures, the Gaudiya Siddhanta, how to maintain, how not to get deviated. He used to give very elaborate explanations. And many disciples would get tired, they would go away. But Srila Prabhupada, even he was not sometimes follow exactly the language, but still he would sit and hear. And because of that eagerness to hear the message, he had attracted the attention of his spiritual master. And he had told that he had already instructed some of his disciples that whatever he writes, he should print that. Because he has understood the heart of spiritual master. And in one Vyasa Puja offerings, Srila Prabhupada had written, he wrote a very elaborate poem. And one stanza which became quite famous, absolute is ancient, thou hast proved, impersonalist calamities thou hast removed. So when some of his disciples, they read this to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Maharaj, he was very happy. Because he had understood the mind of spiritual master. Disciples should not just follow the instructions verbatim, but he should try to understand the heart of spiritual master. What will please my spiritual master? So therefore, it is not just vapu seva, just being physically around spiritual master. That way also somebody can serve. But the higher than that is serving the instructions of spiritual master. Because that will remain always. Spiritual master may not be physically present, but the instructions are always there. One should never think that spiritual master has gone away now. He is always present in his words. So, if someone faithfully follows those instructions, then one will be greatly empowered. And that we can see in our parampara. Srila Prabhupada also, he did not meet his spiritual master so many times. Only on few occasions he met. But he followed his instructions. He made his instructions as life and soul. That was the chastity of Srila Prabhupada. And even at late age, we can see that he was like 70 years of his age. Spiritual master had departed many years before, many decades before. And there was no hope actually. Means he had left his house, home, family and everything. Gaudiya Math, also there were different situation, he was not exactly able to join them. So who will carry this instruction? It was such a tall order. But Srila Prabhupada was still determined. And he was willing to take a risk to go to the Western world, even at late age. And we can see that to get permissions or even to get ticket, he had to struggle so much. We cannot forget those things. Why he was doing, he had taken so much risk and trouble, anxiety, because he wanted to follow the instruction of his spiritual master. So therefore, when somebody wants to follow the instruction of spiritual master, it will not be easy. It will not be just red carpet for you. You can just walk easily. There'll be difficulties, there'll be anxieties. And one should accept those with great happiness. And in that way, one can perfect his life. And Srila Prabhupada was in a particular year, 1896, and that year, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, whose appearance is today, whose son is Srila Bhakti Siddhant Sir Thakur Maharaj, he had sent the copy of teachings and life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to McGill University, Canada. Because he had that vision, he had, even he himself, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he had struggled to get the copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because it was all lost. The real teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were so many deviations. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had to literally fight with so many deviant philosophies. Because in the beginning, it's a slight deviation is very difficult to detect. And after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, deviations had started taking place. People were deviating, there were upper sampradayas were sprouting. And it was externally, it was appearing that it is all devotional service. They were also chanting, they were also dancing. And externally, it may appear the same. But what is the mood? How to understand that one is a real follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? For that, one requires the guidance of an acharya. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was greatly empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya, Satchidananda Namini, Gaura Shakti Surupaya, Rupanu Gavarayati. Gaura Shakti Surupaya. He was specially empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Why? Because he was Rupanuga Varayati. He was Rupanuga, the real Rupanuga. The follower of Srila Rupa Goswami. And if you study the life of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, we can easily make out that how this transformation has taken place. Of course, in last lecture, Gaurang Prabhu has elaborately explained on this topic. But to just summarize a little bit, when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born on this particular day, he was the third son. And the first son had died. And at that time his father was away in some other place. So he was the third son. And he was not looking good, means he was a little bit ugly. So his mother thought that let him leave some other and he'll become the servant of the other brothers. That was the thought. She didn't realize that he will be a great Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. And even in his maternal uncle, they were all worshippers of Shaktas, Durga Devi. And he remembers that during his childhood, during this Durga Puja, there's to be a big ceremony in their house. There's to invite Brahmanas and so many Brahmanas, and they used to come, they used to do a lot of puja, and then there are a lot of goats and buffaloes, they would be slaughtered. And all those Brahmanas, they would enjoy eating that. And he was like a small child, innocent child, he didn't know what is happening around. So he was brought up in that kind of situation. And later, it is explained that when he was sarcastically, he wrote that the only those buffaloes and goats were innocent animals actually. They are getting slaughtered. And then even his schooling was like on the veranda of his maternal uncle, in their house only. It was like some sort of homeschooling. And he grew in that way. And even his teachers, they had a particular system of punishing children, younger ones. The elder ones were appointed to punish the younger ones. So that was quite a hardship he went through even during his childhood in studies and everything. And later when he grew actually, that time when his search for understanding the truth led him ultimately to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He was searching actually he was through so many other religions but ultimately that was the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted him to execute a particular mission. And therefore he was greatly empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even although he was a family person, but still his consciousness was completely transcendental. And when he was working as a magistrate, he used to solve so many court cases so easily. Other judges would take many hearings, but he would just hear once and he would solve that case. So even the Britishers, they were quite happy with his service. And then we can see that story of Bhishikasen, that who was posing himself as incarnation of Mahavishnu. and he was another deviant from Atibari sect. And in the name of spirituality, he was doing so many illicit activities and creating so much disturbance to all the people around. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was appointed to take that case. And we can see that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur went to the extent of jeopardizing his own family members. And he was cursing and doing all those black magic and all things. And even Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had so much trouble dealing with such person. But finally how they caught him and they cut his hair and all his power was lost. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had to fight with all these kind of upper sampradayas, deviant people. And he established the pure Siddhanta. And what is his significance in our Gaudiya Parampara? It is a very, very important role he has played actually. We may not realize how much difficult it was at that time, but he has played a very, very important role. And even the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it is explained that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, the actual birthplace was hidden. Because the Ganges was overflooded, the entire Mayapur, Navadvip, for almost something like 100 years. So afterwards, some people were saying that the birthplace is on another side of Ganges, and still they believe that it is on another side at in Navadvip area. But how Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he established the exact birthplace. And he found out the old maps of Navadvip, Mayapur, Yogpeet. And he was going there and doing all his research. And at one time, when he was staying at his house in Kodrumdweep, Swananda Sukhananda Kunj, he saw some light coming, golden light coming from where the Mayapur temple is now, from that area. Second day he saw Panchatattva dancing. So then he decided to go and find out. And he went with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who was quite old, almost like 120-125 years of his age. And he was carried in a basket. And he was so old that his eyelids, if he has to see, somebody has to lift his eyelids, then he could see. So one servant, he was holding him in a basket, and they went at that place. And there were, at that place, a lot of tulsi was growing. And when they reached, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaji started jumping so high. His head, his feet were touching almost their head. He was jumping, ecstatic, because that was the original birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he established that as the real Yogpeet, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he wanted to construct a temple there. And then when he was excavating, he found the deity of Adokshaj Vishnu. which was worshipped by Jagannath Mishra, the father of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it was confirmed that that was the right birthplace. And he was collecting donations from people. And he used to go and tell them to give 1 rupee. And in that way he was collecting. That was the mood. He didn't want big donation from one person, but little by little from everyone. So that more people are engaged into the service. And then he saw that there were a lot of Muslims around. Because still that time there were a lot of Muslims and they used to create a lot of disturbance. So he established the deity of Narasingadev. Small temple is there. If you go to Yogpeet, you'll see that there is a nice temple of Yogpeet, Jagannath Mishra and Shachi Mata. Behind there is Lord Shiva's temple is there, Kshetrapal, Lord Shiva. And then there is on the parikrama, a small parikrama there, and you will see that there is a deity of Narasingadev. Because there were a lot of disturbances, so Narasingadev, he removes all the obstacles. He chastises the demons. And then since he established that, then those Muslims were not troubling. So that's how he established the temple at Yogapit there. And then even in Mayapur, when Mayapur temple, ISKCON Mayapur temple was constructed, there were a lot of attacks of Muslims. They were just coming and disturbing. So I think in 1988 or something, 86, Bhavananda Prabhu, he thought of inviting Lord Narasingadev. Because there were a lot of Muslims, they were troubling. And when they brought Lord Narasingadev, then all these Muslim people, they stopped attacking. They could not do. Because Lord Narasingadev protects his devotees. So we can see that how Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he has established certain principles which we can follow even in our lives, which are like the scriptural conclusions. His literary contribution is tremendous. And if you see the list of the books he has written, that itself can become a book. That those many books he has written. So many books he has written. And even his poetic contribution, so many bhajans he has written. And they are very famous bhajans. Even the bhajan we sing, Jai Radha Madhav, Gaurarti, Bhogartis, and so many bhajans, and which has not just some kind of poetic rhymes are there, but which are quite deep. In devotional life also, which are quite deep. There is a deeper meaning to these devotional bhajans. Lalasamai. So that shows the eagerness of a devotee when he is on the higher platforms. And in one of the bhajans, he himself reveals his own identity. And he explains that what is his real sorup in the spiritual world, and what he is doing actually. Because he was on that so much transcendental platform, he was so much absorbed that he even realized his own form as Kamala Manchari. So we can see that how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, through his life, through his example, how he has brought the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to us and made so clear. And if somebody follows the principles of six Goswamis headed by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, if one becomes a perfect Rupanuga, then everything will be revealed to him. There will not be any doubt about that. One doesn't have to separately endeavor to try to understand what is his spiritual form or like that. Even at the time of Srila Prabhupada, there was some kind of group of devotees, those who wanted to, they were trying to imitate actually. Gopi Bhav Club, something. They were trying to imitate as gopis, thinking that that is their original swarup. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came to know, he immediately dismissed that group and sent them to different places. Because there is no need of separately endeavoring. If somebody sincerely follows Shishrada Bhakina, somebody sincerely follows the instructions of his spiritual master, everything will be revealed to him. That therefore one has to have that faith. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. Yes, one has an implicit faith in the instructions of spiritual master and Lord Krishna, then all the imports of the Vedic literatures will be revealed to him. And therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is glorified as Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Nami Gaura Shakti Surupaya Rupanu Gavarayata, that he was empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Shakti Surupaya, because he was Rupanu Gavarayata, he was the perfect follower of Rupa Goswami. And therefore sometimes he is called as the seven Goswami. He was the perfect Goswami. And even at his late age, later on, he took Babaji initiation and he was just chanting and absorbed in his bhajans. So we offer our humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. There Pushpanjali in the afternoon. Hopefully there'll be Pushpanjali in the afternoon, 12 o'clock. All devotees can come together and offer Pushpanjali, and then afterwards there'll be kirtan and prasadam feast for all. Yeah. There should be a feast prasadam. Yeah. So, anyone has any questions or any doubts, comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.